And good morning. Good morning and welcome to you all, whether you, like me, are at home or in the church. I realise we're a little later than intended and to press on, but I think we could take a moment just to say a very big thank you to all who have made possible to worship in this fashion, both today and in the weeks and months previously. Our call to worship this morning is about bread. Through the bounty of creation, bread is sourced from the good things of the earth. Through the skill of the eternal baker and vineyard keeper, bread and wine are made to perfection, to be shared by everyone. Through the faith of this congregation, we worship the bread of life and the true and living vine, the substance of our salvation. Amen. Our opening hymn is also about bread. Let us talents and tongues employ. I remember the first time singing it, finding it, going, my tongue was tripping over myself, trying to keep in time. But it's a great feeling that we can all join in, young or old, and even on the days when all we can do is toe tap and head nod to the music, we can worship God. Let's do so as we sing. Let us talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. You get your breath back from singing that, let's pray, bringing our prayers of approach and confession. In early morning, daylight pierces the receding darkness and slowly yet surely envelops the whole being of this world. As we enter now into this place set aside to worship God, we rejoice in the light which bursts through the plain glass, pushes its way through the various hues and depths of coloured glass, and peeps its head around the stone and the wood, and settles in this place, giving a sense of depth and purpose. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the light which exposes the wrong, for the light which rejoices in the right, for the light we so long to have in our lives. We ask now, rest in this place and in our souls, that during this time together, we may seek strength from each other and receive the eternal blessings of worship. One of these great blessings is being able to talk to God of our sense of failure and shortcoming, of our hopes and longings, and to receive his forgiveness. O God of our forebears and fathers and mothers, O God of our brothers and sisters in faith, O God of our children and grandchildren, we are your beloved followers, each individual but bound by faith, like wheat and salt, like water and milk, like yeast, binding and changing. We come together, making something more valuable together than alone. Here, in this place and this time, our souls are not always as pure as they should be. We fear that our impurities might not bind well with the whole. Help us now to know and acknowledge our weaknesses and the ways we fail to live up to your goodness, O God, our Creator. Help us to confess to you, if no one else, the brokenness of our relationships, O God, our Saviour. Help us to be committed to making a broken society trust again, making broken people whole, and to be part of a society that says no to corruption of any kind, O God, our Sanctifier. Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always and receive his blessings and forgiveness, embodying it in your life, in the name of God, eternal and intimate Redeemer. Further blessing of being part of God's family is that God said, pray. Jesus taught us to pray. Let us join together in the words he taught his first disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Before I invite Bob to read the lesson for us, I'd like to share with you a poem courtesy of the Iona community, which Gordon and I felt suits our reading and his sermon on it. It's called Gates and Bread. You said you were like all sorts of things, Jesus. Truth and shepherds, gates and bread. And you were. You are. When we reckon we've got you all sorted and understood, you smile at us and give us another picture. Tell us another story. Show us another way. Live in our lives, Jesus. Be who you are, who you will be in us. Bob is now going to lead us in our reading from John's Gospel.
The reading this morning is from John chapter 6, verses 56 to 69. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen."
Let us pray. You are the living bread, O God. Feed us now in your holy word. Give us your Spirit, your wisdom, and the resolve to serve you in this world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. What a beautiful symbol of Jesus. The living bread come down from heaven. Christ is the bread of life. Over the past few weeks, those of us following the lectionary have been looking at John's Gospel and Christ as a bread of life. And indeed, this week, he is compared to the manna come down for the Israelites. Where God guides, he provides. And where he leads, he feeds. God didn't bring the Israelites out into the desert to let them starve. No, he had a plan for them, just as he does for each one of us. And all we need to do is follow. And whether the path leads over the mountains or valleys or a desert or indeed a wilderness, whatever, he promises to meet our needs along the way, if only we follow. But of course, the Israelites didn't believe this. And again, they return to their complaining. And each time they gripe, the glory of God appears and works a miracle. But were they starting to take advantage of God? Did they believe that the squeaky wheel would always get the oil? The book of Numbers, however, makes it clear that God was keeping track, because God said, "I have forgiven them, those who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. In other words, be careful with the tongue what you say. But of course, you can't receive unless you ask. But could they have asked more nicely? So they awoke in the morning and found manna on the ground. A lot of manna to feed the large band of men and women. In the Psalms we hear of the past, they spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the desert?" Well, he can, and he did. And of course, we still ask, can God provide for us? In Philippians, Paul writes, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his gracious riches in Christ Jesus." Notice it does not say all our greed, but all our needs. What was manna like? When I first went to Kosovo with World Vision after the war, there was little available in the shops. However, we took with us tins of tuna from Macedonia. And on Monday, we had tuna salad sandwiches. On Tuesday, it was tuna casserole made from the leftovers. Wednesday was tuna surprise, and Thursday was tuna with noodles. And I'm sure that Israelites had baked manna, fried manna, boiled pickled manna, or perhaps for dessert, upside down manna, pineapple upside down manna, or banana manna. And they could have raised money by selling the Mother Moses cookbook of 1001 ways to prepare manna. And today they would have included gluten-free manna, reduced calorie manna, enriched whole grain manna, and Subway would offer to toast the manna. But seriously, it could be prepared in a variety of ways. In the book of Numbers, it says they could grind it, beat it, or bake it in pans. And no doubt they came up with many ways to prepare it. But sadly, it's in our nature to complain, especially when we get into the habit of it. Just like the man who got a £10 note in the mail and complained because he needed 2 5s. The Israelites said, when we were in Egypt, we had onions and garlic to the full. Yes, they remembered the food of Egypt, but they forgot about the sting of the taskmaster's whip. I think the manna here illustrates 3 things about Jesus. Firstly, who Jesus is. Remember, manna was small, and this speaks of Jesus' humility. He came as a small baby in a manger. What an act of humility. He left heaven for this, not even for a palace, but a stable. And his humility continued throughout his adult ministry, like when he washed the disciples' feet, or consorted with the poor and diseased. And the manna, it was round, which speaks of his deity, a complete circle. He had no end. And it was also white, which speaks of his purity. He was sinless. And it was sweet. And there's no sweeter name than Jesus. And secondly, the manna explains how Jesus came. The bread wasn't brought from Egypt, nor manufactured in the wilderness along the way. No, it came from heaven. Manna fell as a gift from heaven, right where the people were. And of course, we can come to Jesus today, and he'll meet us right where we are. Jesus said it first. Come as you are, and you'll leave changed. Yes, fed and full. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The manna came at night, just as Jesus did. Light came into darkness. There's an unusual grave in Texas, and it's still there today. It has a little window where you can see all the way down to the coffin 6 feet under. Sunlight makes its way down each day. It's the grave of a little 10-year-old boy who on his deathbed said, Daddy, when I die, don't leave me in the dark. Promise me you won't leave me in the dark. But friends, if we die outside Christ, a window into our grave won't help us. The manna came on the dew. It came first thing in the morning, 6 days a week, not on the Sabbath. It was daily bread, not weekly bread. Some people might come to church on a Sunday and say, "Fill me up. I've got a big week ahead." May I say kindly, we need to fill up daily. On Monday, get with God and get what you need. And the same on Tuesday, Wednesday, and the rest of the week. The manna came where they were. It came to a rebellious people. God could have rained down fire and brimstone, but instead he said, "I'll rain down manna upon them." Paul says to the Romans, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God didn't send a saviour because we wanted one, because he knew we needed one. So we see who he was and how he came. But what must we do in response? Eat. Are we spiritually hungry? Will we avail ourselves of the feast? The prodigal son came to himself and said, "My father's house has bread enough and to spare, while I perish with hunger." Only Jesus can satisfy us. We need to notice that the Israelites had to stoop down to receive the manna. It didn't fall onto a table, nor did it grow on trees for them to climb. Many people don't get saved because they refuse to stoop and humble themselves before God. Others miss salvation by believing it's something to climb up for. Each of the Israelites had to take for themselves. They couldn't be satisfied by watching another partake, and no one else could gather for them. Each had to reach for their own. They had to receive it early, for when the sun came out, it melted. The prophet Isaiah said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There is a coming day of judgment, and it's coming soon." Surely this is a good example of having morning devotions. Manna is also a great example of God's word. How do Christians grow spiritually? By reading and meditating and studying God's word, and on a daily basis. It cannot be hoarded ahead of time. It needs to be fresh and new every day, every morning. Perhaps we need to ask God to make us hungry for spiritual manna. Not just spoon-fed, but digging in for ourselves. Manna is bread, but Christ is the bread of life. His blood is pictured in the cup, and his broken body in the bread. The human body has a remarkable ability to assimilate all manners of food. No matter what the variety of a person's tastes, the food one eats are digested and assimilated into blood, bone, flesh, etc. The body survives on a variety of foods, but will exist for periods of time on one food. Bread is often called the stuff of life, because it contains the nutrition needed for the human body, or almost all the nutrition. And if you could have only one food, this should be your choice. Jesus, after all, talked about the bread of life. The bread of life is heavenly bread. And yes, there are obvious contrasts between heavenly bread and earthly bread. Earthly bread is man-made. Heavenly bread is God-made. Earthly bread must be eaten regularly. Heavenly bread is eaten only once. Earthly bread is baked in man's oven. Heavenly bread is prepared in heaven. Jesus fed thousands on earthly bread, but the bread of life is the bread of heaven. Indeed, the bread of life is Jesus. The words of our reading apply to us today, and they are called hard sayings by the disciples. But Jesus is simply referring to the Lord's Supper, because it, as yet, had not been instituted. Those who eat his flesh and drink his blood are told they will have eternal life. Eating and drinking are ways of expressing a full acceptance. Jesus is in us. The bread of life is eternal bread. Do we want eternal life? It is available to everyone who receives Jesus as the bread of life. This is eternal bread. Manna had to be eaten every day. The bread of life is a one-time eternal life meal. Amen. And I ask Tom to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Son of God and light to the world, we come before you now to pray for our brothers and sisters throughout your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us at this time of worship and praise. And Lord, we are aware of your greatness and your grace towards us, your people here in your kingdom. And we bring before you this morning the needs of others in our lands. We pray for those in lands that have been scourged by wildfires due to the rise in temperatures. And we pray for those who have lost homes, who have been forced to move from their home areas. Keep them safe, we pray. Lord, feed and nourish those in need. And may your church rise to help them and support them at this time of need in their lives. We also pray this morning for those caught up in the earthquake in Haiti. Keep your people safe in the knowledge of your love. We pray for those who have been made homeless by war and violence. And we remember our brothers and sisters who live in Afghanistan at this time. We remember those who are experiencing stress and anxiety in this land, and those now fleeing and seeking refuge in other lands. We pray that other nations will open their doors to those in distress, and may your church rise to help your children from these lands at this time. Lord, as we pray for those fleeing Afghanistan, we also pray for those in this country who are anxious and worried about relatives and friends who are now escaping the new political landscape there. May your deep peace, Lord, bring them comfort at this time. As we remember Afghanistan, Lord, we pray for the work of Connections Cafe, working mainly with Syrian refugees here in our city, helping those from other lands as well as they seek to engage and now live in our city. Be near them, Lord. Sustain them, love them, and show your grace towards them. And Lord, we pray for your church here in Scotland as we seek new ways of working and sharing the good news with fewer resources. Help us to continue to seek to serve you as your people at this very challenging time. May you, Lord, be at the centre of all we do and plan. And we pray for those in planning and building your church in this city at this time. Lord, we bring before you our own church congregation as we seek to find a new minister. And we pray especially for those who serve on the nominations committee. We pray that they will find the right person to lead your people here and be guided by you. And Lord, we also at this time of year see young people returning to schools, colleges and universities following this very difficult year due to the pandemic. We pray that they may continue to grow and be nurtured and strengthened in your love. And we pray for organisations such as Scripture Union and the Dundee University's Christian Unions as they work to promote your love, your joy, your compassion and your grace towards us as your people. We also pray this morning for those of all ages struggling with anxiety and stress at this time. Comfort and support them. Give them hope that only comes from knowing you, our Heavenly Father. We remember this morning the Hot Chocolate Trust team and the parish nursing team working in the centre of our city. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. And may we, your people, always live in that light. May your Holy Spirit continue to guide us, that we, your children, will grow and be sustained by your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we proclaim Jesus Christ, God, the Son, born of Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became one of us, sharing our life and our death. He made known God's compassion and mercy, giving hope and declaring forgiveness of sin, offering healing and wholeness to all. By his death on the cross and by his resurrection, he has triumphed over evil. Jesus is the Lord of life and of all creation. Help us as a community to promote this in your love that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We close our service with singing, "There's a Spirit in the Air," telling Christians everywhere, praise the love of Christ revealed, living, working in our world. So let us go out into the world to love and serve the Lord. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love, this day and always. Amen.